Praise God. Pastor An got a haircut, and I asked him where he got his haircut, and he said his wife gave him a haircut, and it took over 2 hours. I don't know if I can trust my wife to cut my hair, because I trusted her once, and she kind of took a whole chunk of hair out and put a hole in my head. But still, I think it'll come a time that I'll have to trust her and to cut my hair. I saw this kind of funny picture, two little kids with the long hair that was covering their eyes asked the mother-looking person with the long hair covering the eyes, "Mom, we need to get a haircut." And the person, adult, says, "I'm not mom, I'm your dad with the long hair." We're going through this pandemic and being at home. I think it's really a time that we can really spend not waiting for something better to happen, but making something good to come out of this time in our household. Today we're going to be talking about tongue. Do you heal or do you destroy? When I was doing youth ministry in San Francisco, I wanted to make this one lesson interesting. It was a lesson on use of our tongue. So I went out to San Francisco Chinatown meat market and looked for any kind of tongue. Cow tongue was too big, so I settled with the pig's tongue. It kind of resembled human tongue. Wrapped in a plastic bag and asked the brown bag. And that evening, it was Friday evening, Friday Bible study. When the group was gathered, I asked the group to figure out what was inside the bag. And I gave them a few clues. This is the most powerful weapon. It's a weapon that sometimes is used in a good way or sometimes used in a bad way. All of us have freedom to use any way we want, but when improperly used, it can cut, crush, and totally destroy. Not only harm the physical being, but also spiritual as well. And I got this in Chinatown. So kids were kind of guessing what it was. Knife, gun, firecracker, and finally, some wise high school kid figured it out, a tongue. So we played a game, and after we played the game, the loser had to lick that tongue, pig's tongue. We had a lot of fun that night, and next day I got in trouble by the parent of the kid that licked the pig's tongue because I made him lick the pig's tongue. Throughout the history, misuse of tongue has been known as a cause of man's mean-spiritedness, failure, downfall, and shortcoming. There are a lot of proverbs that come from different cultures. Greeks say this, "Boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill." Persians say this, "A lengthy tongue, an early death. Don't let your tongue cut off your head." Hebrews say they this way, "Though feet should slip, don't let the tongue." People have always regarded the tongue as an organ which must be controlled. If not controlled or guarded, it can do a lot of damage. Next to heart, tongue tops the list of body part mentioned in the Bible. And all these verses warn of a danger of a misuse of the tongue and the healing and joy that can be produced when we use it properly. What we say, who we say to, when we say, and how we say can either make us men and women of character or become mean, wicked, slanderous, rude, sarcastic, evil person. Proverbs 18:21 says this, "The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Because we are called to be salt and light of a world, it is that much more important how we utilize the tongue. But the problem with tongue is this. One of the easiest target for the enemy to attack the church is in the area of gossip. Churches where people gather, and where people gather, there are stories to be shared. Not all stories are positive and encouraging. At times, we hear people's struggles. We hear people not measuring up. We hear stories of failure. And how we are handling what we hear, what we know, is going to decide whether we are going to have gossip or not. Well, let me tell you that people of God don't handle them too well. We tend to augment the stories, oftentimes in a negative direction. That's why the psalmist says in 52 verse 2, "Your tongue plots destruction, it is like a sharpened razor." Sharpened razor, it cuts and hurts. If I say this way, you might get defensive and say, well, I do it out of concern. I'm concerned for the other person. The difference between gossip and concerned friend is like the difference between butcher and surgeon. Both cut meat, but for different reasons. James 1:26 says this, if anyone consider himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Quite harsh, quite harsh. When we do not put tight rein on our tongue, we're deceiving ourselves. And even though we say I'm a Christian, not so much of Christianity is in me. Do you know why it's so hard for the modern church to influence the world? It's because what we say and what we do in practice are in direct contradiction. We preach to love our neighbors. No, in fact, we preach about loving our enemies, but we have a hard time even caring for so-called friends and neighbors. We preach about forgiveness, but we are quick to condemn. We see a speck in other people's eyes, but we fail to see the plank in our own. Some Christians who offer beautiful prayers will later speak harshly of believers with whom they do not agree on certain theological issues. James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10 says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of a same mouth comes praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Some people are mistaken to think that it is their spiritual gift to find out other people's secrets, other people's dirt. And these kind of people do not gossip. They just share prayer topics. And they do it in a different way. Yet the end result is same, end up hurting people. Jesus was confronted by the gossipers who were called Pharisees, the teachers of the law. In Matthew 15, verse 16 through 20, this is what the Bible says. That you're still so dull, and Jesus asked them, don't you see that whatever enters the mouth, it doesn't make that person dirty, but what comes out of it, it which makes them dirty. What is gossip? Gossip is something negative that is developed and enlarged. Gossip is changing an earful into mouthful. Gossip is never meant to help or build each other up, but always to hurt and destroy. There is no such thing as neutral gossip. Thus, gossiper is devil's postman, a mailman, delivering something that is not so good. What do we do when we feel urge to gossip or misuse of tongue comes? Not only in the areas of gossip, but in speech as well. Think before you speak. Think before you speak. You see, all of us have tendency to speak negative about other people because we were once sinners. We are forgiven sinners, yet we still have the remnants of our sinfulness. So we're so quickly, we easily, without really thinking too much, what comes up comes out of our mouth is not something positive, something that is blessed to other people. Sinners are very good at hurting other people, gossiping about other people. And some people might say, well, I was born that way. I cannot help it. I live all my life that way. So take it or leave it. Well, friends, let me tell you that we are not people who are born once and then that's it. We are born again in Christ. People who are born again, we need to learn different language. And the language of the Spirit is not hurtful. It is always life-giving. It is always encouraging. It is always blessed. So we need to learn a new language. That's what we're called to do. So people who are called the children of God, we need to think before we speak. Wise men think without talking. Fools talk without thinking. Well, there's a simple formula that someone put together with the word think, T-H-I-N-K. First T, you gotta kind of think, is this true? H, is it helpful? I, is it inspiring? N, is it necessary? K, is it kind? we gotta kind of think before we speak because it could hurt someone. It could destroy someone. Especially as we are spending a lot of time with our children at home, sometimes they can get to us. Sometimes they can bother us. And the words that we just throw out from our mouth without thinking, it can really land on their heart and stay their lifetime. So we need to really think about, is it really true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, kind? If not, it's better not said. You see, God gave us tongue for many reasons, and I'm going to list three of them. First, God gave us tongue to praise God and to honor him and to call upon his name. Psalm 35:28 says, my tongue will speak of your righteousness and your praises all day long. Romans 14:11, it says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God. Psalm 19:14 says, may the word of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Psalm 89:1, I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generation. You see, God gave us voice to praise and to honor him, to sing to him, to worship him. You see, we don't really kind of praise loud today, too. We have a recorded music, and we have to follow along, and some people say it's too high, it's too low, it's too hard. But, you know, just what we're called to do is just make some noise to praise God's name. You know, when I used to do English ministry, there were, like, hundreds of people gathered, yet only, like, not that many people, less than 50% are really getting into the praise time and singing. And about maybe 20-30% of people, they don't even move their mouth. They're like ventriloquists during the praise time. I don't know how they do it, but, you know, they must be singing in their heart, but they don't move their mouth. We need to move our mouth to sing praises with zeal. I love preaching at an African-American church. I had an opportunity to speak before the congregation, who were African-American congregation, and they let you know how happy they are to praise God. And for a preacher, they let you know if you're preaching, they really encourage you by just telling you to go on. And they yell out in the middle of a sermon, they yell out, preach on, brother, preach on. And you know when you're messing up and you're not doing well because there are people who here and there say, help him, Lord, help him, Lord. I hope that today most of you will be saying, preach on, brother. God gave us our lips to shout with joy. Psalm 71:23 says this, my lips will shout for joy when I sing praise to you, I whom you have redeemed. God has redeemed us, and what we need to do is praise his name and praise out loud. The second thing we are called to do with our tongue, with our lips, with our mouth is this, to encourage and to build each other up. Do you know what encouragement will do to a tired and nearly burnt out soul? It will refresh and restore the spirit. Before I came to this church, I was at a church called Oriental Mission Church in Los Angeles, and that church was going through a lot of struggle and a lot of hardship, a lot of lawsuits. And so there were many days that I felt discouraged, that I felt like quitting. I didn't sign up for this. I signed up to preach the gospel. I signed up to really work for the kingdom. And this is not what I called to do. There were many days that I felt like giving up. But my wife, she put together on a big envelope the letters and the emails that people sent encouraging and really sending kind words to me. She put it together, and outside she put in a big letter, big red letter, to be read when discouraged. And it was true. Whenever I felt discouraged, going through some letters that people wrote, that was really empowering and refreshing. We all know that words of encouragement is refreshing, and it gives us power, yet we're so stingy in using them. Why is that? Maybe because we weren't given the words of encouragement. Maybe we lacked. God is encouraging all of us. Silent gratitude equal ingratitude. Use your mouth to lift someone up today. During the lockdown, spend your time with your children, encouraging them and blessing them. And if, you know, because when you look at your children, you say, oh, there's not much to encourage, to bless them and to praise them. What do I do? Well, find something, just encouraging them and praise them for not catching COVID-19, for staying home and not going out. Find something to praise and encourage. And third reason why God gave us our tongue and our mouth is this, to carry out the gospel of Jesus Christ. During the Pentecost, when people were praying and the Holy Spirit came down on people, they received the power. And with that power, they began to speak in tongue, different languages. What did they do with different language? They went out and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, when we are filled with the Spirit, we speak different language. We don't no longer speak the language of hardship, language of despair, language of death. We speak the language of hope, of life. All of us have been given the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit, we are to carry the gospel of Jesus Christ, good news of Jesus Christ, giving life to the people who need to hear. That's why Joshua says in chapter 1, verse 8, do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. We all desire to prosper and to be successful. And God says, do not let the word of God depart from your mouth. We need to be meditating day and night so that we can live according to what is written. When I examine my own mouth and what flows from it all day long, I'm not so proud of it because a lot of times my mouth is filled with complaints, with hatred, with mean kind of language. What we need to do is come before God and be cleansed. In the Bible, there's a prophet named Isaiah. He came into the presence of God and he realized how unclean he was. You see, that's what happens when you come before the light. When you're in darkness, you don't realize how unclean you are until you come to the light. The closer you come to the light, you realize how unclean you are. Isaiah, coming before God, he realized how unclean he was. And this is what he says in chapter 6, verse 5 through 8. Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips. And I live among the people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. Then one of a seraph flew to me with the live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it, he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. When Isaiah came before God and he just confessed to God how his lips are so unclean, God sent one of a seraph who flew to him and with the coal, burning coal, it burned his mouth to make it clean again. You see, we don't have to live with the guilt of not being able to live up to the expectation. We can come before God and ask for forgiveness of my shortcoming. God, today I begin, and may you bless my mouth so that my mouth will bless other people as well. And then lastly, you know, the Bible says, to Isaiah says, then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God is looking for someone to send into the world to really speak with authority, with hope, with life. And that's when Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Unless God touches our lips, we're worthless. So today we ask God to touch our mouth, our tongue, so that it can be used as an instrument of love, of joy, of peace, of compassion and forgiveness. Remember this, words break no bones, but they do break hearts. And when you break a brethren's heart, it breaks God's heart as well. So friends, let us use our mouth to heal, not to destroy. Let's pray. Almighty God, we come asking you to cleanse our lips, cleanse our mouth, so that when your spirit touches our hearts, what flows will be a blessing, will be an encouragement, will be something that is life-giving to the lifeless world. God, we thank you for the lesson you give us. May coming week be a time that we can truly practice what it means to be a child of God, to be born again, learning a new language, speaking a new language, so that whoever we speak to, whoever we encounter, that we will be able to share stories of life, stories of miracle, stories that are God-giving and life-giving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.